football fans, and welcome to the CBFA podcast with your hosts, James Parks and Cole Fortner.
Okay, well, welcome to the CBFA podcast. Welcome to the CBFA podcast. Week number two. Well, I guess it's a review of week two, the week two games, and looking ahead to week three. We'll start with the Thursday nighter between the Lions and the Stampeders, and we have one of our new announcers at Shouldice this year, Scott Deusing. And he was announcing that game. So, Scott, why don't you give us a rundown of the Lions versus Stampeders from last Thursday night?
Yeah, thanks, guys. I would say, as I could attest, I know Cole mentioned on the last broadcast, we're still operating on the makeshift announcing schedule there at Hellard, which I think we're going to be having for the next few weeks, from what I've been told. So yeah. We're able to. Good job by the team, though. There, they did a great job getting everything set up. And although I will say, calling from the field level could be a little hard, just to try to find the correct numbers, all that kind of stuff as well, but able to make it work. So, you know, we had the Thursday night game, and, you know, I think week one, Cole kind of mentioned it, and you did as well, James, just in regards to the summary on the last podcast. I think both teams were still trying to find themselves and kind of get those early season jitters out. And I would say both the Lions and Stampeders offense definitely had their issues in the first half. You know, after 24 minutes of play, we had a grand total score of 3 for the Stampeders, 2 for the Lions. So resembled more of a baseball game than a actual football game. But I would say the Stampeders definitely in the first quarter had their opportunities. You know, they had several, about 2 or 3 times they were in the Lions half within actually their own 40-yard line and were only able to get 3 points. That was off the leg of Stas Obrakowski, the kicker. He was playing free safety as well that game and had a couple of big tackles, but he got the Stamps their first 3 points of the season and made the score 3-0. And then the Lions actually 2 points came in a safety in the second quarter near the end of the second quarter. So about halfway through. So both offenses were trying to having their issues. I would say really liked the Lions quarterback, though, Centrone. He was really looking for his receivers, most notably number 25, Harlan Junti. This guy is really, really good. And, you know, not only was he the punter that day for the Lions, but he was definitely the main target for Centrone out there as well. Centrone likes to scramble the ball, too. I'm sure you guys have seen that in the past as well with him running. But, you know, he definitely was the heart of that offense. So it was 3-2 at half. And then in the second half, I would say the Stampeders D played really, really well. But it just was 2 big plays that led to those 2 Lions touchdowns. And I got to give credit to the Lions D. Like, they played well as well and were able to shut down the Stampeders rushing attack. They were trying to get the rushes going with Dagan Gebersbrandt and then Jack Cerita. But not only did I notice just one tackler on the ball, it was more like 2 or 3 Lions defenders on the ball at all times. Compliments to the Lions coaching staff. You know, it's just not 1 or 2. It's a pride of Lions that comes in there to attack those guys on D's. So, you know, after the game, you know, you saw on the field Stampeders head coach Dave Hardy and his staff having long conversations with the team. And everybody I talked to at the sidelines, I think yourself, well, James, y'all talked about Hardy's experience. And I'm sure with his experience coaching staff, he's going to right the ship here for the Stampeders. And we're going to see a different Stampeders team going into week 3 here on the Bulldogs.
Wow. Well, that's an excellent summation. I don't know how to follow that. That's already better than anything we've already done on this podcast in 5 years.
I would say one more shout out to the Stamps. Like, their defense was good, but big number 77, Cole Paulson, he had a few big plays as well. He had a couple of quarterback sacks in Centrone, but it was a real defensive battle. And like I say, it was only those two kind of big plays that the Lions got that led to their touchdowns that were the difference makers. So tight defensive battle. And I think, after the Stampeders had their tough start to the season against the Raiders, who are by doubt, the defending city champions, and they look like they're going to get to that final this year, in my opinion. It was a tough match, and the Lions were very good too. So I think the Lions coming in to play the Cowboys this week. If I was the Cowboys, I'd be ready because that was a big, hard-hitting team for sure.
There we go. Yeah. So, I'm sure the Lions will be riding high on that victory going forward. And the Stamps, I still have some faith that they're going to make a comeback. I don't know if they'll fulfill my original prediction, but that's okay.
There's still a lot of season left.
Absolutely.
Indeed. All
No,
right,
and
and
I think
then.
I think that's the other thing is it's with how early we are in the season still, is it's really hard to actually see where the teams are actually gonna fall and line up. We can start seeing that more as we go through weeks 3, 4, and 5. That opening week, you see all your opening week jitters and you're getting a feel for your whole playbook and stuff, and then obviously as the weeks go on, more and more plays get added and whatnot, and you get more comfortable with your team and stuff. But it's we say it each and every year, like predicting how a season is going to go in the Bantam Football League is it's so hard to actually predict because of the high turnover rate, because players graduate year over year. Teams just look immensely different, so it's hard. And actually, what I've liked so far to start our season is how competitive we've actually been compared to the start of a lot of previous seasons.
Yeah, that's true. No shutouts in week two.
No, but we did have a low scoring game, which I guess I should talk about next.
That is your segue of the week, Cole's segue of the week.
I am good at the segues. Our Saturday morning game featured the Mavericks and the Bulldogs, and it was a very competitive game. If you looked at week one and how the Bulldogs handled the Rebels and how the Mavericks, it's looking at the scores, say, how the Mavericks Wildcats game was, you wouldn't have really expected a close game like it was, but the Mavericks actually came out and played like they did in the first half against the Wildcats, and they looked like they're actually dominating the Bulldogs for a good majority of that game. The opening score of the game was actually by the Mavericks as well. It was actually a deep punt return that was returned for a touchdown. Of course, like Scott mentioned, being on that sideline announcing games, it's really hard to get yardage and numbers and stuff. So I don't know the actual punt return yards, but Giovanni Lee, he had the return. He had a really good game for the Mavericks all around, especially on defense. But yeah, no, like the Mavericks looked good. They did have that tougher opponent in week one, and it's hard to gauge really where the Bulldogs are at because they've played the Rebels, they beat the Rebels handily in week one, and then they have this close game against the Mavericks who lost handily against the Wildcats in week one. So it's really hard to tell. But the Bulldogs were able to answer, and they actually scored on their convert. It was a nifty little shovel pass actually from the quarterback. I have names here somewhere. Antonio Mendonca finding Flynn Bell in the end zone. He was actually scrambling towards the nearest sideline under pressure, and he kind of just lobbed it almost like a rugby underhand pass with one hand, found his receiver in the end zone. And that was it for the scoring. It was an 8-6 final.
Wow. That is low scoring.
A great way to start the day. That's an
Yeah.
early start time for those Bantam players, 8:30.
Super.
I don't know if many of those kids are really looking forward to those game times at 8:30 this season. I mean, it's half an hour later than last week.
That's true. It's a, this, you know, coming into the segue, it is the Wildcats and Raiders. So a battle for first place is that 8:30 game. I think most parents are going to want to try to get there early. That should be a great one.
Well, yeah, especially that drive in from Airdrie too, right? You know, just a lot of those, a lot of that coaching staff for the Raiders, or not a lot of it, but a good chunk of that coaching staff for the Raiders coach is coaching for their high schools that play on Friday night. I'm not sure about the Wildcats and what they're coaching, but you know, they also might have coaching staff, you know, in high school games on that Friday night. But those Airdrie ones for sure. That's a late night followed by a really early morning to get to shoreline.
For sure.
Moving on to our second game of the day on Saturday, our third game of the week was the Colts and Rebels, and boy howdy was that one ever back and forth. Rebels, I guess, technically opened up the scoring by conceding a knee for a safety. That was then followed up by a roughly 60-yard fumble return touchdown by Lincoln Atkinson to give the Rebels the lead. Colts then responded with a 20-yard rushing touchdown from Svetek Sereda. And it just, you know, it got more and more back and forth there. Rebels entered with a 3-yard touchdown. Colts would answer with a 14-yard rushing touchdown. Rebels would tie it up with a 27-yard pass from Enzo Carducci to Alex Corbett. What kind of hindered the Rebels a little bit in this game was the fact that they were unable to convert on the touchdowns. So that wasn't overly helpful for them, because at this rate they've scored 3 touchdowns. The Colts have only scored 2, but because that safety and the extra converts, they've basically scored 3. Rebels then actually took the lead on a punt where they punted, the Colts fumbled it, the Rebels then recovered the punt fumble and returned that to the end zone. And then they did get a 1-point convert to make it 25-18. On the ensuing kickoff, Scott Chase of the Colts returned the kickoff for 101 yards for a touchdown. The Colts then went for a 2-point convert to get a 1-point lead. And then a few drives later, the Colts would add another 20-yard rushing touchdown to ultimately take that game 32-25.
Ooh, what a barn burner.
It really was. Both sides were moving the ball well on offense. Defenses were keeping them in it. And like the morning game, it's like it was just back and forth. And it was a good game to watch. And you really had no idea how it was going to, how the cookie was going to crumble and how the game was going to end.
Yeah, Colts have 54 points to start the season. So that offense can move. They've been some high scoring games so far.
One. The Colts offense was good last year. It's kind of a flip from last year, because last year their defense was what kept them in it. Their offense was struggling to score. And this year it's, you know, if anyone can stop that offense, you might be able to win those games like the Raiders did last year in that city final.
Yeah. All right. And in the afternoon, starting at 1 o'clock, the Eagles took on the Raiders in the third game of the Saturday slate. And I think this one was probably closer than any of us really expected it to be. The Eagles defense put up a heck of a fight. And, you know, I think the Raiders were able to take advantage of a couple of turnovers, short fields, that kind of thing, to make the score a little more lopsided. Final score in that one was 35-16 for the Raiders. But they, you know, they played solid. They're obviously the team to beat this year. After 2 weeks, it's pretty clear that, you know, if there's any the biggest teams competing with the Raiders are probably the Wildcats and the Lions.
I think the other thing too in that game was the Raiders' offense just kind of wore down the Eagles, and they were able to. I know at one point in time where it was, I don't remember what quarter it was, maybe in the second or the third, where the Raiders answered immediately after the Eagles had scored, and coming off the field, all the Eagles players were dejected and stuff, and the coaches were trying to get them back into it. You know, the whole, like, you know, there's why are you sad? Why are your heads down? You know, there's still lots of game left, but I think it just ultimately got to the point where it's that Raiders team is, like you said, one of the toughest teams in this league right now. And, you know, you look at their Pee-wee, they won Pee-wee championships as well as Bantam championships last year. So they've got the depth and the younger players as well.
Yeah.
You mentioned that, Cole. Eagles. Yeah, it's a perfect segue, Cole. Like, the player of the game for the Raiders was Hudson McDonald, and he was that quarterback, punter, and player extraordinaire for that Pee Wee Airdrie team last year. And I know he plays receiver right now with Bank of Abone and at quarterback, but he did go in week one as a quarterback, too, in the second half. So just a lot of athletes out of the Raiders. And, yeah, they're really, really strong for sure. So, yeah, just well-coached as well.
Yeah, definitely. So, and then the final matchup on Saturday afternoon was the Wildcats taking on the Cowboys. And the Cowboys actually, I think, surprised a few, me included, with how close they played the Wildcats in that one. They were pretty solid, but obviously they just don't quite have enough to keep up with a team like the Wildcats. Wildcats ended up winning that one 14-6.
But again, even on that note, you know, you look at the week one games and how close the Cowboys were with the Eagles in our opening game of the season, you know, 6-point game in that one, the Eagles struggled against the Raiders. Well, I wouldn't say struggled. They held their own against the Raiders, but the Wildcats had a very slow start against the Mavericks in week one. So that being close, yeah, it's a little on the surprising side, but at the same time, it's also, in a way, it's also not, because Wildcats might not be as strong as initially thought.
Yeah, I think they're a sleeper team.
I think once they figure out what they're doing and everything, they'll probably thrive, but this week for sure, coming up is going to be a good indicator of where they're at.
Absolutely.
And on that note, speaking of who they're playing against, Scott's already mentioned that the Wildcats do take on the Raiders. That is our opening game of week three. That goes at 8:30 on Saturday, September 6th.
That should be a great one. But that early morning, like you say, we know the players aren't going to be out late on Friday nights unless they're out cheering on the Airdrie High School teams or, you know, the respective. I know there's still exhibition games going on in the high school season on Friday, September 5th. But, yeah, those are two well-coached teams. And, you know, it's my first year with the CBFA this year. But what happened last year when those two teams met? Do you guys remember? Was it a tight matchup? Just, again, two very well-established clubs.
Last year they played in week five, and that was a 41-40 final.
That's could we have a track meet just like some of these Labor Day games we just saw? You know, we had a great one with the Rough Riders and the Bombers yesterday, and
yeah,
I know the Calgary Stampeders beat those Elks today, so
yeah, surprisingly, that wasn't actually the highest scoring game last year
combined. No,
which actually also featured close. The Raiders. The highest scoring combined game last year, Scott, was 72 for the Raiders and 52 for the Eagles.
So just all offense, both teams. They just decided, you know, heavyweights going at it, right? That's a good tilt right there.
Defenses stayed home that day.
Yeah.
All right. And coming up after that big opening day tilt, at 10:45, the Cowboys are taking on the Lions.
And yeah, that's, you know, another good game to start off our week and the early parts of the season. It's a good test for the Cowboys, especially to see where they're at. You know, having had that close game against the Wildcats and the close game against the Eagles.
Yeah, it's a tough schedule to start the season for the Cowboys, but yeah, if they can keep the game close and stay in it, then they've got a chance.
Well, I haven't seen the Lions play yet because they've been on in Canada, and I've been announcing on Hellard, and then they had that Thursday night game, and I was working. So it's gonna be interesting to see how good the Lions actually are this year.
They looked pretty solid against the Stamps.
And the one thing is, they have no problems going for the pass. I'd say they probably throw the ball more than they ran it in that game against the Stampeders. Against Centrone, really good. Actually, it reminds me as well. Want to give a shout out to the Lions manager. I don't know who it is, but they provided the phonetic spellings and sayings to every one of their roster players, Cole. As a
Oh, that's
play-by-play guy
beautiful.
like yourself, who doesn't appreciate that, right? I didn't have to worry about butchering names. Like I when I
Nice.
saw that, I had the biggest smile on my face. So shout out to the Lions football organization. Really appreciate those people from Cochrane doing that, because that way it made my job that much more easier for sure.
There's the one that really needs it. There's a player on the Bulldogs, and you'll experience that, Scott, this week when you're announcing that Bulldog Stampeders game. You might have a bit more luck with your hockey knowledge background, but just a heads up.
Okay, I will be prepared for sure. But we do have four teams that are still winless. You have the Stampeders, the Mavericks, the Cowboys, and the Rebels all looking for their first wins. So, could the Cowboys and Stamps do? And then Mavericks and Rebels, well, actually, they face off each other at the in the afternoon game at 1 p.m. So that could be, you hope one of them gets their first wins, but would you see for the first tie of the season as well? I guess we'll have to wait and see.
It's been a hot minute since we've had a tie. I have to go back and look through things to see. I know we had one recently-ish. We
Last
didn't
year, the
last
year
year.
before, I
It
think.
wasn't last year.
It seems
Maybe the year
recent.
before. I think it was the year before. While I look, you want to continue with
Sure, yeah.
the
So
rest
at 1 o'clock, and that's at Hellard Field, is the Bulldogs taking on the Stamps. And also at 1 o'clock, but over at Encana, will be the Rebels taking on the Mavericks. So Scott will be your announcer at Hellard Field for the 1 o'clock game, and I'll be announcing over at Encana at for the Rebels and the Mavericks.
Yeah, like I mentioned it in the start out. I would think Dave Hardy and his staff make some changes. Heard some rumors that they may look at, as again, when you got young Bantam football players, maybe switching some kids from offense to defense and vice versa, just to get them in the right spots to get something happen. When you get a grand total of 3 points in your first games, trying to shake it up, and I think getting something happen. So I expect a busy week of practice for Dave Hardy and his staff for sure, for the Stampeders.
Yeah,
And
I think so. Yeah. Okay, Cole, give us the skinny.
Our last tie was in week six in 2023, back when we had a 12 team league. Can you two guess who the teams were involved?
I'm going to guess it's the Hilltoppers and the Chiefs.
No, it's the two teams that I mentioned had the 1 point game of last year, the Raiders and the Wildcats.
Oh, wow.
Oh, wow.
That's some pretty evenly matched couple of years history there with those teams for sure.
Yeah, 1 point difference in their last two games.
Wow. All right. And the final game on Saturday for that wraps up week three. 3:15 kickoff between the Colts and the Eagles.
Only two teams are locked at 1-1 so far.
Eagles have had those Cowboys have had those good obviously games, defense being one score losses by both of them, and that should be a tight one. Colts have had a really good offense, like you said. Let's see what happens with those. I watched a little bit of the Eagles first week game there against the Cowboys, but yeah, Eagles and Colts, I think that should be a barn burner of one to finish the weekend.
Absolutely. It's going to be an exciting weekend of football, as it always is down at Scholdeis Park. If you're in the neighborhood, you should make a point of stopping by and catch some really exciting youth football.
Well, and it's, I don't want to dwell on the past too much, but you look at this season compared to how last two seasons started. I don't think we had most of our games in the first 2 weeks in 2024, 62 nothing, 14 to 2, 35 nothing, 30 point win, another 30 point win, 48 point win, 33 point win, a 55 point win. Like we're having, and the same thing in 2023, where, bunch of 30 and 40 point wins. We're having a really good start to our season this year. It's really competitive. Every team plays every team this year, so every game is extremely, extremely important to try to get into the top four of the playoffs.
The only really blowout games were Raider Stamps and Wildcats Mavericks in week one.
Yeah, but to have two in our first 10 games compared to the last two seasons where we're lucky to have one or two not being blown out
Yeah, that's true.
is really, really, really nice to see. It's great to see these high intensity close games that are coming down to the last couple of plays or the last couple of drives.
Which even transferred to some of the other local football. You had the Dinos take on the Rams. That went to overtime. Actually, that was actually really interesting because the Dinos got to overtime on an 85-yard rouge off the kickoff
No.
to take it to overtime. It was all over social media against the
Wow.
Rams, but then the Rams came away with the win. But exciting, like you say, it went to overtime. So exciting football, not only just at the Bantam level. And I believe the Calgary Colts are traveling to Winnipeg this week. Their next home game's on the 14th against the Hilltops out of Saskatoon, and that will be at Schold Ice. So looking forward to hopefully going to that one as well after the next week, which I guess we could talk about on next podcast.
Absolutely.
That should be following our game, shouldn't it? Or they play on Sunday.
That's they play the Sunday the 14th. So yeah,
Okay.
for sure. So
And high school football, yes, high school football starting in Calgary this week. Officially starting the regular season games.
yeah, the
yeah.
NFL kicks off this week. I'm excited because, I'm going to get my arse kicked in fantasy football yet again. Can't wait for that. It's an annual, celebration of football.
Yep.
Should be great.
Yeah, we all celebrate in our own ways.
Exactly.
Now,
All right.
Labor Day is come and gone. It's officially football season. I think the Labor Day Classic is a good start to the football season and really getting into the fall and football in general.
Yeah, put your white away.
Put your white away.
You can't wear white after Labor Day, Cole. That's what James is talking about. But
Yeah, but
hey,
we're Football Alberta, so we support we do wear white. I don't know about that
it's
controversy.
we do, but it's great even from a CFL basis. We got the Riders at 9-2, the Stamps at 8-3. Usually, the CFL does well when you have an Alberta and a Saskatchewan team and near the top of the standings, right? And so, as I will say, I'm from the province to the east of us. I'm very happy to see the Riders in first place. Was not as happy to see the week before when they lost, but I'm expecting a very good playoff game between those two franchises.
Yeah, we won't dwell on that for right now. We'll focus on our league and how
Exactly.
exciting it's been here so far. And yeah, lots of football to look forward to. Of course, we do have Gordy's 7th annual food drive coming up in a few weeks. That's happening Thanksgiving, like it is every single week. So just a reminder for that. We do are making announcements throughout the stadiums. Bring non-perishable food items on Thanksgiving. Top two teams will have a pizza party.
We had our first 50-50 draw on
Yep,
Saturday.
that happened as well on the weekend.
We had a happy winner of just over $1,000. So the next 2 weeks will be again combined into one draw. So the tickets you buy this weekend and next weekend, or weeks 3 and 4 of the CBFA season, will all be drawn on the Saturday of the 4th week. So that's September 13, I think. There. Next draw, September 13th.
Following the Stampeders and Rebels game.
All right. Have we got anything else this week?
I think that's it.
And from my side, guys, just want to thanks again for having me include me on the podcast. Really appreciate it.
Well, thanks for being able to join and Thank you for all your wonderful insight, Scott.
Yeah, we appreciate having an additional voice now and then just to make sure that we're not drinking our own
Completely
bathwater.
awesome. No, absolutely. More than welcome to come on anytime you need me to.
Excellent. Thanks very much. And thanks everybody out there for listening. We will catch you next week. See you at Shoal Dice Park. And Cole, what do you say?
Go football.
The CBFA podcast is brought to you by longtime players of the game sponsor, Wolf Cadillac Calgary. Check out their selection of new and used vehicles at their new location, 756 100 First Street, Southwest Calgary, or online, www.wolfcadillaccalgary.com. We would also like to thank the Canadian Brewhouse and the Calgary Sports and Entertainment Corporation for their sponsorship of the CBFA. Support such as theirs is essential for minor football in Alberta to continue to grow and thrive. Thank you for listening.